Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a child witnesses a ghostly couple walking out of her parents' bedroom, never to be seen again. Who were they? And why were they there?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And of course, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email us. If you have an audio file on your device and want to send it to me, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. And if you want to support the show, we'd greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. You get three greatlies with that one. How about that? All you got to do is sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Whichever platform you prefer, the content is the same in both places. It's just platform of choice. You get yourself all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, archive of episodes, all commercial free. You get our ebook, our audiobook, and a whole bunch of other great stuff there. All part of the membership. $5 a month is all it is to binge away commercial free and get all the extra episodes. And if you do a year membership, you get 1 month free. So it's another incentive there. If you know you love the show and you want a ton, save yourself a month. Anyway, check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony, Carol Hughes are with you today. Hi.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. The noise, your EVPs have stopped.
They kind of have stopped. Well, I'm like the crazy cat person, dog person, but I don't know if you know that about me or not.
Not at all.
But so my cat has these toys and has decided that now is the time. It's like, I must play with these toys. They're amazing. And so she was really going at it here a minute ago, but now she seems to have calmed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a cat.
And that's what they do.
And she does that kind of shit at inappropriate times, like the middle of the night.
When will she ever learn?
She won't, because I won't enforce any rules, because she's a cat.
Can you ever?
And they don't care about rules.
I was just going to say, does it ever? I mean, I know like there's like, you know, professional like lion trainers and stuff like with circus cats. But what about just house cats? Can you ever train the cats, or does it have to? Can you train any cat, or does it have to be like a specific type of cat that's trainable? Or is it just like good luck? It depends on their personality.
Well, that's a lot of question. I can train my cat how to use a litter box or when it's time to eat.
But
and
they
all
seem
that
to like
stuff.
Almost know I, that.
Outside of that, she does whatever the hell she wants. Yeah. There's no rules.
I've had ones.
What? This is my house.
I've had ones too that know how to use a litter box, use it for years, and then one day just start deciding, fuck that.
Well, and some that could be other issues.
Sure.
You know, if that happens. But yeah, cats like Bud, my dog, he's great. Like, he's so well trained, and now he's just old.
Yeah.
You know, he does whatever he wants to do because he's old. But it's like cats, I'm assuming, because they've got that cat show, like the cat whisperer guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know how. I don't know how you would begin to train a cat.
I don't know. I'm just kind of curious. You know? But I've taught them. The only thing I've ever taught a cat was the word foodie. That's what my mom would always call our, you know, foodie, and then it's time to eat. I don't know where it came from, but it's what she always said, and then the cat would come for that. But that's like the only thing the cat would come from. You know, you call its name, it just kind of look at you like, yeah, and? It's like, do you got a lap for me to sit on, or what the fuck are you doing? What are you calling me for? But yeah, there's not much other training. Litter box, sure, but they seem to know that instinctively. So I don't even know if that's really training, as just, you know, look, the pile of litter is there for you. Thank you.
That's kind of how it worked. I set her next to it and she peed.
Yeah, then they realize where it is. And okay, thanks for pointing that out for me. I know how to shit and bury it. So that's cats. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, hey guys, I live in Birmingham in the UK, and the home I grew up in was and still is haunted. From a young age, I was open to other things and sensed people from other dimensions or eras, I believe, people who have passed, and I have many stories too. Growing up, I experienced many things, from shadow people, full-on detailed ghosts, to objects moving, and the arise print of someone sitting at the end of my bed. Not only would you see the outlined bum imprint, but I'd feel the bed dip and quilt tighten around my feet. I told my parents, or they never believed me, till my mother had seen this and freaked out and left me in the room. Shortly after moving into the house, I experienced an elderly couple walking out of my parents' room and down the stairs. Weeks later, my dad was doing work on the house. I stood in a cupboard closet and fell, which knocked a step back. Under the step was a photo of the couple's ID. I saw and described them to my parents perfectly. My parents removed the photo from the house, which made things worse. Not in a demonic, scary way, but more activity, more frequently, which scared or unsettled their dog. They soon had it back and placed it where they found it. This seemed to satisfy the ghostly couple and rarely saw them after. My dog would walk up to 5 steps on the stairs, move to the other side, cower, walk up the rest as if he were walking around someone. My dog would also never enter my bedroom. We even swapped rooms, and whichever room I called mine, you guessed it, he would not enter. When I was alone in the house or my mom was alone, we would hear footsteps around the bed back and forth, enter the bedroom, and it would stop, use a door, and it would start again. I shared a room with my little brother. One night I awoke to a squeal in my ear. Being on the top bunk, I nearly crapped my pants as I saw my brother's quilt floating above the door, moving slowly from one side of the room to the other. Jumping off the bunk, I ran to switch on the light, turning to see the quilt fall above our TV. My brother was in our parents' room after the nightmare. My dad believed I put the quilt there just so I could sleep in their room. I was 8. One morning, I was woken up by my mom screaming, "It's 7 a.m., time to get up for school." Lying there, not wanting to move, I felt a heavy weight climb on top of me and tickle me before jumping off and thumping out of the room and down the stairs. What climbed on me can only be described as Blanka from Street Fighter. It was and felt and sounded like he ran off on all fours. My mom shouted up to me, telling me off for jumping on the bed, even though I was still there. One time down at my nan's, I saw a tall man. Describing him to my nan, she seemed to dismiss it, but hours later casually broke out the photo album. Flicking through, I pointed the man out, saying, "That's him, man, that's the man, that's the man. It was my great-granddad, my nan's father." All this before I was even 15 years old. I moved out with my parents at 15 and things died down a little, excuse the pun. But staying there in my mid-20s with my partner, she witnessed 2 things. One was the arise print on the bed. It seems that still happens to be there. And the second was a shadow forming in front of the door. It was late at night, but the tick was on. And so was the old gas fire. We had it set to the 3rd bar, but we felt the room change. Looking around, we saw the shadow just manifest out of nothing. It never formed into a person, but it just grew about 3 feet wide and 5.5 feet high. That was the last time we attempted to stay overnight. I've had many more experiences, but the last one I would like to share is that of which I believe to have seen an angel. You see, growing up, I suffered a lot of depression and learned to hide it extremely well. One day, though, I was waiting for my bus. Nobody, nothing around me, other than a McDonald's 200 feet away and a bridge. Standing there alone, I was approached by this little old black lady who said, "You need this more than me," while handing me a piece of paper. I looked down and backed up to say thank you, but she was gone. I have no idea how she just vanished, or if she was an angel reaching out to me to let me know to keep on going, because on that piece of paper was a psalm which basically read, "Even when you're at your lowest and you're alone, God is with you." I still have that piece of paper folded up in my bus pass I no longer need, but I keep it as a reminder. The paper seemed to have been ripped out of the page too, not just printed and handed out, but like a ripped one. Those are a few of my short stories. I really enjoy your show, and I hope you enjoy the read. Your newest fan from the UK, Neil. Thoughts on Neil's experiences?
Well, not to make light of the angel story, because it really touched my heart, but yeah. You know when you're listening to something and you're visualizing it? Mm-hmm. And he's like, he saw an angel and then said it was a black woman. All I could see was Della Reese.
From Touched by an Angel. Yes.
Exactly. I'm like, oh my God, Della Reese. That's
she was
amazing.
A badass angel. I liked Della Reese in that show.
Right?
Yep. It was a
that would be awesome.
Great casting.
So, yeah. So I kind of got focused on that.
But sure.
There was a lot. Like, there was a lot of experiences in that story. Mm-hmm. I think the one that creeped me out the most was the quilt thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to see any quilt hovering anywhere.
No.
But I think it's the very beginning of that story. Like, you said that, you know, someone would sit on his bed and he could feel the blankets tightening. And do you say, like, the mom came in and then just left him? Like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I see it, too. Ah, I'm leaving.
Like, good luck, little one. I hope I trained you well.
You are so on your own with that shit.
Yeah. That's the disturbing
part. There was a lot of things that happened. But it, that last Della Reese story.
The Della Reese story.
Like, that is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was an angel or not, the fact, even if it was a person that had just kind of disappeared,
mm-hmm.
the fact that they would give him that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Angel or, you know, could, you know, a lot of times, whether you want to go angel or not, I mean, I think sometimes angel is almost in the eye of the beholder. Could it have simply been a... someone who had passed on already that was there, that wanted to do good, that had been watching for a while, and this is kind of their lot. That's what they're doing on the other side. They're trying to go around and help people.
There'd be more of that going on.
Yeah, in their time of need.
More of that sort of thing.
Is that your cat saying, yeah?
She's like, she's very chatty.
Yes, she is. I love hearing cats talk because it's so funny because it is like a language, the way that they kind of just say things.
And now she's attempting to destroy one of my chairs, but she knows that I'm stuck in front of this mic. Like, there's nothing I can
I'm
do.
I'm going to tear shit up over here, bitch. Yeah. Come
sorry
and stop
about that.
Me.
Anyway, back to Della Reese.
Yeah.
But I think that is a really, like, those are the kind of stories that I just love.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool if more people had more experiences like that.
Yeah.
Instead of terrifying ones. You know, if I'm going to come back like as a ghost, you would come back to terrify people. Or at least you would be not necessarily the terrifying kind. You would be like the ha.
Yeah, kind of like gotcha. Pranks. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Which would come across as terrifying.
I think depending on the person, some would be like, oh, it's a mischievous ghost, you know, and some would be like, it's the devil. It's just it's like black or white. It's one or the other in terms of what people are going to, you know, interpret as what's going on.
But, I'm going to come back as the Della Reese kind of ghost. Like, that would be cool. Like, look at me going around and giving encouragement to people. I like that.
I do, too. I like that. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Zachariah the Witch, and I'm calling from Pasadena, California. Years ago, when I lived in Michigan, I lived in the university area of Ann Arbor, where University of Michigan is. And I had moved just outside with a new roommate who I didn't know. We met on Craigslist. And had a really great roommate relationship. Something very peculiar and life-altering kind of happened to me, though. I was in my early 20s. I was about 23. I am 34 now. I don't even know my own age. And my roommate went to Costa Rica for 2 weeks. So I had a two-bedroom, two-bathroom apartment all to myself. And it was pretty big. And I would work late nights. I hosted a couple open mic nights and did classes and taught like tarot stuff and things I still do now. But I have never had something like this happen to me before, and it hasn't happened since. But on the third night that my roommate was gone, I came home, and of course all the lights were off, and I walked in, and it was summertime, but it felt oddly cold, and I didn't leave the AC on when I was gone. So it was a really humid and warm night that night, so I thought that was odd. None of the windows were open, and the whole time my roommate was gone for those 3 days, their bedroom door was shut and locked. And as I walked in, I turned around, I locked the door, and I was walking down the long hallway. And I just had that feeling that everybody knows and will be familiar with, that something else was there. Something was taking up space in our apartment. And as I walked down the hallway, I actually got creeped out, and I don't usually get creeped out. I'm a 6'2" guy, and I don't get intimidated very easily. But I stopped in the middle of the hallway, and I thought I heard something in the bathroom that was on the left. And both of our bedroom doors would be on the right side. So it's my door first. My roommate's door was at the end of the hall on the right. And then there's the guest bathroom on the left. And it's a narrow hallway. It's an old apartment building. So I stopped. And then it sounds like somebody took a step behind me and stopped right behind me. And I just had that anxious dread feeling that if I turned around, I would be face to face with a burglar or someone who was breaking into my apartment or who had already been in there. And I froze and I couldn't speak. And then the strangest thing was that my roommate's door, I heard it click and creak open about a quarter of the way. And there was a nightlight on in my roommate's room. And I didn't really see anything because I was just so freaked out. And so all I could say out loud was, whatever you are, because I didn't know what to do. I just said, whatever you are, you need to leave my place right now. You don't belong here. And very closely to my left ear, I will never forget the sound. It hissed in my ear. And then the feeling was gone. I could breathe. I could move again. I'm even getting goosebumps telling this story. And I never experienced it ever again. I never told my roommate. And oddly enough, when my roommate came back, we didn't get along. It was very strange, change in their behavior. And they decided to either I move out or they move out. And it was just real strange change of character. But that's my ghost story. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. What an interesting kind of twist to it is the entity leaves and suddenly the personality of the roommate changes and the dynamics of the relationship change as well. For the negative, normally when you think of something dark being expelled out, that would help raise the spirits of all those involved and improve the relationship, not suddenly make it go bad. Unless there's something with that roommate that was connected with the activity that was going on.
Well, I mean, if you didn't know the roommate really well, mm-hmm. and they didn't, there could be some mental issues or something there.
Sure.
Maybe the trip hadn't gone well. I don't know. But, I mean, the story was fascinating.
Yeah.
But I would like him to call back and let's talk about Zachariah the Witch and where that came from.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear more about his story.
I mean, my first boyfriend was a warlock. And that, like, because as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh, sounds like someone I would have dated. But I'm really curious, like, why do you call yourself Zachariah the Witch?
I didn't know that men could be witches. I know plenty of women who listen to our show who are what they would call a practicing witch. But I was unaware, because that's what I thought. I thought when it was a male, it was a warlock or something else. But maybe I'm just off on that.
There's probably some term for it, like the equivalent of a, you know, a cisgender sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
I don't have any idea.
I don't know. It's something like anyone can be a witch now.
It seems like it. Like if you, don't know why a guy couldn't be a witch.
No, I just don't know the logistics of it. And I know many people who are witches that are very, very well balanced, normal people. And it's their religion. And I get
not
it.
Not like the warlock that I dated.
No.
He was not a well-balanced person at all. That should have been a deal breaker.
Was it a dark witch? I mean, most of the witches I know are practiced.
Oh, he was so good looking. But he was just, that's the deal. I was like, I don't care.
He's a
hot
warlock.
He has a great car, a good job. So what if he's a warlock? I'm 18. I'm moving out. I'm living on my own. And if he's a warlock, it's not a deal breaker.
It's like the title of your dating self-help book. So what if he's a warlock? And other stories right? by Carol. Yeah.
So what if he's a warlock? In parentheses, you can do better.
So what? You know,
self-esteem, Carol.
Jesus.
But yeah, it's. But I would like to hear more of his backstory. I thought that story. You could feel that as he was telling it.
Yeah.
And I could the way he described the apartment, I was seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that hiss thing at the end.
Yeah.
That kind of freaked me out, but then it went away.
What I want to know is was the hiss like a cat hiss, like the, or was it like some sort of demonish kind of something like
when he said the hiss, I'm like, yeah, of course it's a cat.
Yeah. That's what you, that's
they do the, whatever they want.
It's a cat demon that, I don't know. Then I felt four paws doing mashed potatoes on my arm, and it was there you go. I actually have experienced
I had a weird feeling in my house once, and it was like Buddy started acting weird, and I thought I heard something. I thought it was a ghost. And I was like, man, I heard this thud up in the kitchen. I was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, there's something. And it took all of, everything I had to get up, because I'm going to have to walk up the basement steps and confront this ghost. And so I go to the basement steps and I look up. It was a frickin' possum had gotten in my house, which is about as bad as seeing a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
When a possum is inside of your house. But the thing is, I screamed so loud. I think I scared the possum as bad as it scared me.
Yeah.
But, you know, things like animals can't. I think you can get that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a person in your house, a possum in your house, a cat.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a cat.
No, I think there was something else going on there. Creepy one. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
I don't know what to say. I've never called someone like this. Certain members of my family have what I call a gift where we can see spirits, as I prefer to call them, such as passed away grandparents and things like that. But I see other ones that are not so kind. And I lived in Salem for a while, and I slept in that cemetery. I was homeless for a little while. It's been years now. And I slept in the old burying ground on right in the corner where Louisa Trask is. And I adore her, and she's not the problem. But there are other ones that attach themselves to me, if that makes any sense, because I have an open mind. And I think I have one, and I'm not quite sure who, that is abusive. I wake up with bruises, and I no one's here. I'm not being tossed around a room like a poltergeist or anything like that, if you believe the movies, which I don't, but I know the difference. I don't know. I mean, normally I think I can handle this or go to church or something, but people think I'm crazy, but I got some marks on me to prove it. And I would love it if you would call me back. I just know in my heart it's not her. She protects me. But I think that there's an evil spirit around there that doesn't want me around, and that knows that I subconsciously know about them. It's hard to explain. I'm sure in your occupation you might understand. There's something that knows I can see, and knows I can hear, and knows I can feel, and just doesn't want me. And it's followed me to Gloucester, Massachusetts now. And I don't know how, I don't quite know how to vanquish it. I would really love it if you call me back on this phone number. I appreciate any input you have. Anything you want to know about me? My name is Tracy.
Okay, we'll stop there. Thoughts on her story?
It was kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
The way she was telling it, it made me a little concerned about her. One thing I would say, though, because when she said she wakes up with bruises, sometimes, now There could be two different things going on, but she should go to her doctor because there are certain illnesses that cause you to bruise really easily. Like you don't even know that you bumped into something. And a friend of mine had leukemia and it caused him to bruise really bad like that. So I would definitely suggest going to a doctor just to check that out. Cause that does concern me, but you know, the rest of it, that's way beyond my pay grade.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. It sounds like a very confusing.
But she sounds so scared. That's what bothered me.
That was what bothered me too. It's scared, you know, very confused. And I hope that at some point you can make some sense of what's going on and what you've experienced. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this one. Hi.
Hi. My parents have a very old house. It was one of the first mansions in Detroit, Michigan. And they've owned the business for 175 years now. So my parents have, it's basically the old servants' quarters. That's where they live. And so there's always been kind of weird things that happen in the house during on again. And one night I was sleeping. It's very small because it's the servants' quarters. and I was sleeping up there and I woke up and I felt like somebody watching me. And I waited to open my eyes because it kind of felt kind of weird. I figured it was my mom because she, you know, generally still checks on me even though I'm an adult. but when I opened my eyes, there was this woman standing there. She was an African-American woman dressed. She was large. And she was just kind of looking down on me, and at first I was scared, but she had this beautiful smile. Like, it was a gorgeous, beautiful, big smile. And in an instant, like, I went from being scared to being comforted, and she just kind of smiled at me, almost like she was going to tuck me in or something. And she was gone. And so every time I'm there now in the apartment, I wonder who she was. It was brief. It was lovely. And like I said, at first I was really scared because I saw this woman kind of hanging over me. Like I said, like almost like she was going to tuck me in. And then she just smiled and I kind of felt like, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, you're dreaming. This is crazy. And I went back to bed. But little things happen in the house all the time. Like I said, it's a really old house. It was built in the 1800s. It used to be part of the Underground Railroad. And so I just wondered who this woman was. But in any case, it was whoever she was a kind soul. So that's all. Kind of a weird story.
Thanks for sharing your experience with us. Underground Railroad haunts and things like that are always very fascinating to me.
Well, I think it's interesting that we had two black women in two completely different stories tonight. Like Della Reese showed up again. But both of them, like, it was, like, kind of similar in a way. Like,
yeah.
These women were very comforting to them and weren't there to hurt them. I don't know.
It's just interesting because our show always does this randomly where we have similarities in stories, you know, right down to the ethnicity of the ghost that's haunting you. You know, just to see it kind of a trend in certain ways is very interesting. And I wonder why that is. I don't know if it's one of those things where as the listener on the other side, if you're the one who shared the story, it's kind of, is it a sign to you that, that, you know, something happened that, that we're unaware of that somehow came through our show this way and somehow organized itself? Because I'm not planning out these calls. I'm literally just grabbing them off of a call board and airing it. It's interesting, especially with being such positive stories where the ghost that had shown up in this show's case, it was two African-American women who showed up and were very much, you know, motherly, angel-like. I want you to get better. I want you to succeed.
Yeah. And that second story, like if there was any connection with the Underground Railroad, you would think that it would be a much different energy coming from her.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's kind of beautiful.
It is. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate your calls. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And that is going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person, as we call them. EPP, you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep our show on the air and get all the bonus content. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.